where did all of this come from, including the diversity of the gods themselves? They want to know where everything came from, and the emphasis in this sentence is really on the word know. They want to know it. And you can feel, just like a suggestion in these words, it's not stated explicitly, you can feel that they are convinced that if they know the source of this creative impulse, that it will somehow connect themselves as individuals back to their source, and it will give them a sense of power and control over the nature of the cosmos itself. So this hymn is just, in a sense, a fragmentary expression of the Vedic imagination, but it helps us feel and to get a taste, I think, of that impulse that drove the Vedic Brahmins to probe the origins of the cosmos and to make the origins of the cosmos in some way available to themselves as actors in this religious world. Now, as the Vedic tradition evolved, the original hymns of the Veda attracted a large body, as you can imagine, of commentary and explanation. The final level of commentary in the classical corpus is found in the Upanishads, a body of texts that are known sometimes as the Vedanta, a word that perhaps may be familiar to many of you, a word that means simply the end of the Veda, the end of the Vedic collection. The Upanishads tell stories of priests who tried to find unity in the fragmented world of the Vedic ritual. And they focus their speculation on three areas of life. They identified first the essence of the external world. They looked out beyond themselves into the forces of nature, to the wind and to the sun and to the power that made the plants grow, and they attempted to touch the essence that gave that its reality or its life. The word they used to name this, we translate as sometimes as being, sometimes as reality. The Sanskrit word itself is simply sat, S-A-T, sat. It's actually the present participle of the Sanskrit verb to be, which is the same as our word is. This may not seem terribly recognizable to you, but the S in the word sat is the same S as the S in our word is. So sat is ising, it is being, it is existence, it's reality. That's the reality of the external world. Then they looked inside in their own personalities, and they tried to put the finger somehow on what it was that made themselves what they were, that was the essence of their own personality. And they spoke, as people often do in India, about the power of breath. Breath is important in the practice of lots of different types of Indian meditation. To focus on your breath is to focus, in some sense, on the source of your life. So a lot of the speculation in the Upanishads spoke about breath as the source of energy in the personality. But as they worked with the concept and worked with their own awareness of themselves, they came to speak of something that went even a little deeper than the mere movement of the air, of the breath, of the energy in and out of the body. They spoke of their own Atman, their own self. So the essence of the personality in the classical Upanishads is called Atman, or self. And then these were priests. These were people who engaged in sacrificial rituals. That was important for them. That was really the locus where a lot of the speculation went on. So they were concerned to find out what the essence was also of the prayers that they spoke and of the ritual gestures and actions that they performed. Again, there were many possibilities. One was a particular sacred syllable, the sacred syllable Om, that often appears and often is used in Vedic ritual. But again, they focused on something that was even more fundamental. It was the word Brahman, a word that originally referred to the prayer itself, and then came to name the power that lay behind the prayer. So they had worked on three separate areas,